Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
You might have heard about a Banksy painting which raised more than £16 million for an NHS charity when it was sold at auction. Now, the piece appeared at Southampton General Hospital during the first wave of the pandemic with a note which said, "Thanks for all you're doing. I hope this brightens the place up a bit, even if it's only black and white." And Banksy is without doubt the world's most famous graffiti artist. But what exactly do we know about him and why is his work so popular? Well, Jessica Fahey is an art historian and she joins me on the line for more on this. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for joining us on this. And Banksy's works, they've been variously described as poignant, thought-provoking, iconic, ironic and humorous. But where did it all start for him and for his work?
So I think one of the things we have to consider with someone like Banksy, and certainly as an art historian, this is what we would tend to do, is to put him into a broader context. So technically, you could argue that some of the early graffiti that we have is in, you know, Pompeii from the ancient Roman world. And we continue that sort of tradition. We see it in the Renaissance as well. So I think what we have a tendency to do is sort of assume that this is something entirely new, but actually it isn't necessarily all that new. In relation to the specifics of Banksy, we still don't know exactly who he is, which of course is part of the kind of excitement that remains around him. But as far as we can tell, he started in Bristol in the 1990s before moving to London in the early 2000s.
And what do you think it was about that early work that gained him and garnered him so much attention and acclaim?
So I think what he did that was different, certainly different in the UK, was that he started to use stencils. So rather than just use a tag, which would be the usual thing that graffiti writers would do, which is, you know, some variation on the nickname that they've chosen, he instead presented a fully formed, thought-out stencil work, which is a teddy bear throwing a petrol bomb at riot police. And it was in response to actions he saw happening with riot police attacking ravers. So it was a political message, it was relevant to the time, and it was a fully thought out artwork. And the stencils mean that it's very bold, very strong and very legible in comparison to a lot of other graffiti work, which is almost more for other graffiti artists rather than an artwork for the public, if you know what I mean.
So it was the clear message, the political message, coupled with the style of the art and the use of the stenciling that put him on the stage, really, you would say.
I think so, yes, absolutely. And a sense of humour, I think, as well.
But becoming mainstream was never his intention, because clearly he's anti-establishment and this may not have been what he intended. It's probably fair to say it wasn't what he intended to become this celebrated.
Yeah, it's one of the strangest things. And it seems like no matter what he does and the more he resists it, the more popular he is and the more his artworks go for. So there's, you know, this kind of idea as well. It's kind of complex too, because there's people who are very suspicious of him and actually see him as someone who pretends to be anti-establishment but isn't. So it kind of depends on who you're reading or who you're talking to as to how they feel about that. So, for example, he doesn't have copyright over his work because he doesn't declare who he is, but he does try to trademark it if somebody else tries to use it. So he has, you know, very famously said that copyright is for losers, and yet he's involved in trying to still keep control over his works. So there are elements of kind of contradiction on every side of that, but it seems no matter what he does, he keeps getting more popular.
And how big a factor is the shock factor in what he does?
I think it has a lot to do with it. I have a suspicion that when people look back on this era of art that we're currently living through with, you know, Tracy Emin and other artists, you know, from the last, say, 30, 40 years, shock art might be the thing that we'll be associated with.
Damien Hirst as well, would you put in
exactly,
that category?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, so there's an element, I think, of us loving things like that we love things that are kind of you know, sort of exciting and surprising, particularly if we feel like we're in on the joke or we're kind of in on it some way. And then, of course, we're also living in an era of everything being, you know, Instagrammable, and the fact that his works work so well in you know, an online context really helps them too. The fact that they're ephemeral, so they're meant to disappear, you know, they're not meant to be, although they now have been, the walls have been taken off and everything, but they're originally meant to be ephemeral. And the idea that the way of recording them is through photography or through, you know, an online presence. So I think he fits into that. And in relation to the shock value, I think it's a way of getting attention. And the one thing that he is extraordinarily good at doing is getting attention. And the more attention he gets, the more popular he gets as well.
And a lot of that popularity came from the anti-establishment stance and the work that he was doing. You know, the fact that he was seen to be and is seen to be a Robin Hood type figure that the authorities want to erase, you know, in the early days, certainly. You know, his graffiti, along with other graffiti, was seen by the authorities as something that had to be taken down and disappeared.
Yes, and I think the aspect of the Robin Hood element too, on one side it's the kind of helping and the kind of charitable aspect, but it's also the rebel, you know, the guy hiding out in the woods who only comes out at night to annoy the authorities, that sort of you know, the sort of feeling of him being somebody kind of brave and exciting is tied up in that too. What's so interesting about it now is, of course, his works are preserved by county councils, and other graffiti artists, you know, are still being charged and end up in prison in some cases. So there's a lot of sort of questioning and debate around the idea of his graffiti now being acceptable and others still not being acceptable.
Yeah, although there does seem to be a renewed interest in graffiti. We were talking about it here on the programme a couple of weeks ago, where a lot of exceptional street art has appeared since the start of the pandemic, and people would seem to be, I don't know whether you would agree with this or not, more accepting of it.
Yeah, and I think we have to say that a lot of that's due to Banksy. I think that is actually one of the largest of impacts that he has had, is that he has sort of shown that graffiti and street art are something that can make an area better or you know, something that people will be proud of locally. So there's certainly, I think, an element of that shift and change that we can owe to him. But it's also a wonderful way for people to be artistically expressive. It's a way of bringing art to people, so you don't have to go into, you know, a museum to see it. So if you think of the electricity boxes or whatever it is around Dublin that Dublin City Council have had people paint. And it's a wonderful idea. You know, it's lovely. And people respond to the county council saying that they like it. And if they do, then the county council commissions more. And it's a way for artists to make money. And, you know, it's a fantastic way that I think street art now becoming more popular and more accessible.
And some of that, and some of that may be attributable to him, as you said there, Jessica. So what about his most iconic pieces for you? What stands out now?
Well, I think because of the sort of secondary life to his balloon girl or girl with the balloon, I think that's something that will certainly go down in history. So it's the stencil work of a little girl who was holding onto a heart-shaped red balloon. She's in black and white and the balloon is red. Initially they were stencils spray painted around London in the early 2000s, and then a certain amount of prints were made of them. And then when he one of them was going for sale a few years ago, he put it into a frame that just as it was sold, the frame turned into a shredder and the painting goes through a shredder, and then the new title was given to the work, which is Love is in the Bin. So this was him commenting not just on his own work and the popularity of his own work, but on the art market. And see, this is the kind of clever thing about him, is that it's this, he never just settles for what the thing is. He wants to keep reinventing it and reinventing the ideas around it. So I think that's
I remember when that happened, the sharp intake of breath, not just from the people who were in the room, but everybody who was watching that moment. You know, it's just,
it was so
shocking, but it was brilliant. Listen, who is he?
Well, you see, this is the thing. So I wish that the rumour that was circulated a few years ago that he was Neil Buchanan from Art Attack, if you remember Art Attack, the children's art programme on ITV. That's my favourite theory, but apparently it's not true.
He issued a statement, didn't he, Neil from Art Attack, saying it's not me. And we kind of believe that now.
Yes, absolutely. I think it was just one of those things that someone sort of thought, wouldn't it be great if it was him, more so than anything else. But the other very, you know, certainly for a very long time, the strongest theory was that he was Robert Denaya from Massive Attack, who was also known as a graffiti artist called 3D and from Bristol. And people sort of pieced together that that Banksy's works were often in cities and places where Massive Attack were playing. So that was one of the theories, and particularly when the DJ Goldie was on a radio interview in 2017 and he was talking about Banksy, and then he says, you know, Rob is a great artist, so he left slip the first name of Banksy as being Rob, or some people think actually Robert. Mm-hmm. But this could still relate to another man, Robin Gunningham, also born in Bristol, whose early tag was Robin Banks. So he's now one of the other forerunners. But I suppose the thing about it is, for me anyway, I sort of prefer him not to be known. And as he said, if you want people to listen to you and you want to be heard, part of the thing that helps that is wearing the mask. You know, once he's revealed, then all the attention will be on him rather than just what he's saying. And it's, I think, so, I just love the idea of anonymity in this age of celebrity.
Well, you know? Yeah, and like, it's so extraordinary that he still has his anonymity despite the level of fame.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I think that's, there's something kind of wonderful and sort of joyous in that, yeah.
Jessica, it's been fascinating. Thank you very much indeed for talking to us. Jessica Fahey there, art historian on Banksy, on who he might be and the work he has done to date. Let's take a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.